Blog Talk Radio.
Having financial issues, Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray blessings
all of them as well. But Lord, we ask that you would just allow us to be on one accord, Heavenly Father, as we move forward. It's all about the kingdom, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, this evening we discussed last week Kingdom Battle. We went through a variety of different scriptures. For those that are listening, we went through Luke 4:14-32, Matthew 11:12, Colossians 2:13-15, Luke 16:16. And today we are looking at Acts 14:21-22. Actually, Acts 14:22. And what the word says here, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. And if you would like to share a discussion of what that scripture means to you and what the Spirit is saying to you, we openly invite you to become a part of this discussion. 347-237-4054 is the number to call in if you would be connected. The first we look at is Acts 14:22.
May I read it in a few different versions?
Sure.
In the King James Version, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
In the Living Bible, the same verse says, where they help the believers to grow in love for God and each other, they encourage them to continue in the faith in spite of all the persecution, reminding them that they must enter into the kingdom of God through many tribulations.
Amen.
So I think the main principle in that scripture for that the Lord wanted us to hear was that, yes, we're saved, but sometimes there are hardships and there are tribulations. So I think that sometimes immature Christians believe that once they get saved that they're immune from any and everything. Let me say it this way. There's two views. You have those that are so spiritual that everything is the devil. So if there's any hardship, the devil is the devil is the devil all the time.
Uh-huh.
And they begin to turn away from God.
Uh-huh.
Because they have to be grounded in the Lord. And then there are those that are on the total opposite end that believe that nothing would come, that God protects them on everything, which he does.
Mm-hmm.
But they also believe that when there are hardships, that those are from God also, the hardships are from God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, and we're just talking about those that are saved, people that are in the church or that call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So this interpretation and the scripture, in my opinion, is telling us that to be made to stay in fellowship with one another, that it's our constant encouragement to one another. We are an encouragement to one another by shoring up someone, giving people support when they're going through things, intercede for people when they're going through things. Definitely, people will want us to know that the 2 points in the scripture that I'm concerned would be community, the importance of the fellowship, relationship, and the second point, that tribulations are not a reason to
Christians.
Tribulations, persecution, troubles, setbacks, hurdles, I can go on and on.
I'm sure that, it is endless. You know, and you know, Dr. Suzanne, you know, how I see this is just piggybacking off of what you're saying is, says we must go through many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. I look at that if Jesus Christ came here on earth and he had to go through hardships, that those who are Christians, and we break that up, Christ in, that means it's Christ within us, within that Holy Spirit that's within us, that dwells within us, that Christ is still here within us. And if he went through all of these hardships at this particular time, that we're going to go through the same thing. That if we're not going through some type of hardship, that something's wrong. That means that, I kind of look at it as that something's wrong, that we might not be on the right team.
I think, too, that, there's another way to look at that also. And I believe Brother Norm said that last week about if the devil isn't after you, it may mean that he already has you.
Something to think about.
So that's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to think about for sure.
Amen.
Now I'm reading
two
books right now.
Mm-hmm.
I finished up and I go back and reread what I've highlighted, but I'm reading Draw Close to the Fire, Finding God in the Darkness by Terry Wardle.
Mm-hmm.
And Waking the Dead, The Glory of a Heart Fully Alive by John Eldredge. And both of these books talk about what the Lord, his desire for us. And we know that that Jesus is able to intercede on our behalf and understand the persecutions and the tribulations and the temptations that the enemy puts before us. Trying to tempt us to, because Jesus was flesh and blood and experienced that for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to intercede on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
On our behalf to understand what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just read this to you. It's from Draw Close to the Fire, and the title of this chapter is Your Battle is Not Against Flesh and Blood.
Okay.
I've been in Christian ministry too long to question the existence of Satan and evil spirits. I have experienced his barrage of lies and flames and arrows ever since declaring my faith in Christ. I have also helped countless brothers and sisters who have been harassed and derailed by his destructive scheme. While much of what he does is subtle and unnoticed, the rotten fruit of his evil work is everywhere. Whether through conflict, bondage, division, deception, or doubt,
mm-hmm.
Satan and his dark cohort are always at work to lure people away from God and
Amen.
Into the destructive rip of evil.
Amen.
It has been noted repeatedly that either acting as if Satan does not exist or else concentrating on him constantly are equally dangerous for the first position allows the enemy free reign to destroy people's lives. The second leads to an unhealthy preoccupation and fear of the evil one, taking our attention from the person of Jesus Christ and his wonderful gift of life and peace. A balanced approach to combating the evil one involves learning to stay alert and well-armed against him, while continuing to grow in love and intimacy with our Lord. Scripture is the manual for everything you need to know about balance and effective spiritual warfare. I thought that actually those two short paragraphs really lend themselves to our discussion today.
Well, when we begin, we look at, the hardships are the things that we're going to go through to enter the kingdom of God. We have to realize that that there is an enemy out there. As you said, there is an enemy. And when we look at that enemy, Satan has a warfare against the kingdom of God. And Satan employs different strategies in a war against the kingdom of God in an all-out effort to destroy the foundation of the Christian way of life. His purpose is to ultimately gain absolute control and to establish a fully-fledged satanic world order in spheres of life. He realized that his time is running out with him, and he is rapidly increasing the severity of his attack. And there are different types of warfare that he is engaged, that we're engaged in, you know, that we go through, but that is his purpose, basically, he's really coming against the kingdom of God. And that's really what happened from the very beginning, you know, from the very beginning of his fall.
And we have to understand the various things that with this, Satan cannot. He can be angry with God, but he can't harm him.
Amen.
In the garden, he was angry and tempted Jesus. He could be angry, but he couldn't harm him. So we are the same spirit, the people that the Lord loves. We are in his image, but we are so vulnerable. We're like the prize pack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to understand, that as teachers, especially as Christians, how valuable we are to the Lord.
Right.
How much we love
Hallelujah.
Us and how valuable we are. And we're so valuable that the enemy is after you.
Mm-hmm.
Is after me.
Amen.
Is after Brother North in our list. Because if he can turn us away, he can affect all those around us, all the contingent people, such as our neighbors, our children, our children's children, our siblings, our parents, our coworkers, you know, our church. If he can plant the seed there in any of us, then he has a way of spreading his evil. We can't lose that one.
Amen.
We can't lose that one. Spiritual warfare is kind of multidimensional. As you see, the entire Bible, look at the Old Testament especially, is made up of, there's a backdrop, as they say, of war. There were the wars, all of the old conflicts being shown. I don't think the Lord, in fact, I know the Lord was using that for us to show us how to fight. Like if we think about how Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
mm-hmm.
he fought the battle with nothing but his voice and courage.
Okay?
And we think about a David with Goliath. David fought Goliath with a stone and a slingshot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are things that just would have been unheard of. It doesn't make any sense. Because you can see that it must be God, that it's supernatural or something like that for them to be able to defeat the enemy in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the Lord wants us to understand that it's the same for us. We can't use what's natural. We can't use the usual or the common way of coming against the enemy. Yes, we are in a battle. We are in a battle.
Amen.
But we have to be sensitive in the Holy Spirit and know what the Holy Spirit would have us to do. You must resist. And the Lord tells you what to do. In Ephesians, well, I don't want to skip. I don't want to move too fast. You don't want to go fast.
For those of you, again, that have tuned in, listening in, we're talking about the kingdom battle, and we discussed the scripture 14:22, where it says we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And we were basically just talking about the enemy who is trying to prevent us from getting into heaven. And there are all types of tricks that the enemy has for us. There are different type of strategies that the enemy tries against us to get us off track so that we are not focusing on God. And, you know, when we look back from past history, from the very beginning, that's really what it was all about. That's what it was all about. There was Satan's warfare against the kingdom of God. And then there was Satan's fall. So when we look at the kingdom of darkness is a reality which everybody should be well aware of. Mm-hmm. Satan and his demons, which are fallen angels, were cast out of heaven because of their complications of rebellion and are engaged in a fiery battle against God and his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And when we start talking about God and his kingdom, we're looking at us, those who are Christians, those who believe in God, those who are followers of Christ. And if you are a follower of Christ, you're going to go through some type of hardship. You're going to be engaged in some kind of spiritual warfare. And this kingdom battle piece is as a reminder of who we are in Christ. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, you know, we know that Christ is coming again, and he's going to reign again. But we're going to have to go through some hardships, some trials, some tribulations. But we know that the end, there is victory. The end, there
is
victory.
Go to the end of the book. We need to know, too, that whether you choose to acknowledge spiritual warfare and pray against the enemy or acknowledge
mm-hmm.
the existence of Satan,
mm-hmm.
you're in a warfare anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Amen.
There's war all around you. It's in the supernatural, in the heavenly, but here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to understand, though, is that what we see, what we have on earth is not the reality. The reality is what happens, what we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. And so when we pray, we should pray it that way.
Right.
And have an understanding of that there's warring going on in our atmosphere.
Yeah.
And that, like the word says, that you don't wrestle with flesh and blood,
and right.
that's how power. But our prayer and what we and our study puts us in the mind and reminds us in our prayers, send our angels out. Fight off our camp. Now, when we look at Ephesians, we were talking about in Ephesians how the Lord tells you what to do and what to wear. Where he says, put on the full armor.
Man, hallelujah.
Did you have hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go there.
Okay.
Put on the full armor. Let's go there.
I always remember where Ephesians says, my first Bible study, we were told the God's electric power comes for Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, I think Colossians. That way you always remember the order. We're in Ephesians 6. Let's start at 11.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's start at 10.
Okay.
10.
How are we?
Okay.
The armor of God, finally. The song in the Lord and his mighty power. But, I mean, put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of darkness, of the dark world,
mm-hmm.
against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Amen.
Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground.
Mm-hmm.
And after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist,
mm-hmm.
with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which I can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's the only way to win this battle. You know, this is not, like I said, a battle not against flesh and blood,
mm-hmm.
but principalities. This is spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And the only way we have a chance is put on, you know, prepare ourselves.
Amen.
You prepare yourself by studying and putting on your God's armor.
Amen. Amen.
I like that, the strong belt of truth. The truth. The truth is what you're learning, what we're learning in the Word. God's truth. Nowadays we have what's true and it's such a confusing thing. Because something can be true today in society and not true tomorrow. But God's word never changes.
Amen.
Never ever changes.
Amen.
So the strong belt of truth and that breastplate of God's right to the approval, which protects your heart. That's what Satan wants. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. The shoes that we wear are the shoes of good news, and we should be speedy and always ready to preach the gospel and take it out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we should put on our salvation. When you put on salvation, the helmet. Think about that. The helmet is protecting your ears. The helmet is coming over your face to protect your eyes. It protects your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So your most precious organs would be your brain and your heart, your mind, your heart, which is what the enemy is trying to do. Tries to baffle us, tries to steal our heart, our affection. So the Lord has those covered with righteousness and with his peace. Salvation for his health.
Also taking on your shield as well.
And your shield.
And it gives you added protection.
Amen.
If someone looks for an area of weakness, you have your shield so anyway you're protected. And alertness.
And your shield of faith. Now notice that everything else is secure to the body. But the shield is something that you can move as you discern which way the arrows are coming, where the enemy is going to attack you.
You're looking for your weaknesses.
Your weakness.
And you move the shield in that direction.
And that's what we have. And in community of brothers and sisters, we have to be discerning for ourselves and for one another,
mm-hmm.
for our less mature Christians.
Amen.
To pray for them and let them know, where weakness is. There's a weakness here. You need to do this. I see temptation comes here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you this advice. So we're supposed to advise the younger people and not necessarily younger chronologically, but younger in the Lord, those that are immature, younger in the Lord, on where to, on how to fight and how to dress for the battle. No one goes to the battle unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
No one.
I respect the rules.
And no one goes into as or die, because you will get hurt. You don't go into battle unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Unprepared. You go prepared with something. Even David did, even though all he had was rock and a slingshot. That was his. That's what the Lord, how the Lord told him to prepare for that battle,
mm-hmm.
with those things. The Joshua, like was mentioned before, when he marched around the wall of the shadow of death,
mm-hmm.
that's what the Lord, how the Lord told him to prepare. There were things that he told him to do prior to marching around the wall,
mm-hmm.
before the wall fell. So the Lord will give us through the Holy Spirit things that we are to do, the way that we are to prepare. And like the word says here, continuing in Ephesians, if you ask anything in line with God's will, in line with the word, that you just petition the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You petition the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Also, you speak of David and fighting on Goliath. It demonstrates that that was a God-sized action.
Amen.
Which is not something that David could have done by himself. That was a God-sized support. God-sized, only something God could have done.
Amen.
Without God being present and his will being done, David would not have stood a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And there's so many examples of God. Like you said, God's side challenge, supernatural resolution of challenge. Like when we look at Moses going through, going through the wilderness, but even before that, when he confronted Pharaoh and his exodus from Egypt, that was a God's side. It was in God's strength. It was in God's that they left. Everything was just strategically placed. And we need to understand that as God's children, that he doesn't stay with us because he placed us, giving us an assignment, that a place that was given for what he has for us.
Even a little boy who had five loaves of bread and fish, and God was doing a sermon, and what was it, 5,000, 10,000? And
5,000.
And it was a very, very long sermon, and the people were getting hungry. And I think someone suggested, that you should let them go so that they can eat. And God indicated, there's plenty of food here. And called the boy forward, and he took the bread, and he broke them up into groups. But there was more than enough. There was plenty of food even left over after the 5,000 men were fed. That doesn't even include the children. But my point there, that was a God-sized action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I think about that, that's just relies on faith. But even at that time, even sometimes where we are, we may see God work over and over and over again in our lives, and we still lack faith when we run into a situation. Because even at that time, there was still doubt. Because all he had was the loaves of bread, which wasn't enough to feed the 5,000. And I'm sure there was probably more than that. We said men, but what about as far as women and children?
Yeah, they weren't being included.
Wasn't even included.
Even after this was over, he told them to gather his craft and take him with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a God-sized act because I think, with that, he's telling them, the craft, take them, and also spread the gospel, mm-hmm. about what transpired.
Amen. Amen.
So it was more to it than just simply gather straps, the scrap. Maybe you might want to snack later. go and spread the gospel.
And all those are just, you know, the Bible are just examples of what others have gone through to give us encouragement that we're going to go through some things, and that we should have that same type of faith, that same spiritual faith.
We hear people talk about the Bible and say it's biblical, but the Bible, but we are the people. We are those people.
Amen.
And the same things, the things that happened then, we're still going through them today.
Amen. Amen.
It's the same thing.
And for those of you that are listening at this time, no matter what you're going through, that's just a promise that God has given us, that he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us, and that he would also supply all of our needs.
Amen.
So that's, you know, it's just having the faith of a mustard seed, just believing that God is going to do it. So no matter what you're going through at this particular time, no matter where you are, as Brother Norm spoke of, with God feeding the 5,000 with just five loaves of bread, God can do the same thing with us as long as we have faith and believe that God is going to do it. Because at that time, when they looked at that bread and looked at all the people, I'm sure it didn't match up. It didn't match up. But it all worked out. It all worked out. So what they were seeing was earthly. They were seeing it through the earthly eyes and not the spiritual eyes. Because Jesus, during that time, he had done many, many more miracles prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, they got to this particular time when it was time for them to eat. And they felt that it wasn't going to be enough, that Jesus could not create enough food to feed them. So those are just examples.
The food is abundant, but it comes down to faith as well. It's like the blind man, you know, who knew that Jesus was walking through, and he called Jesus. Jesus responded. He said, you know, what is it that I can do for you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God, you know, Jesus already knew he's blind, but he asked him, what is it, you know, he could have just simply, he said, you know, you have sight, you know. He said to him, what is it that I can do for you?
Mm-hmm.
And the man said, you know, I wish for sight. Mm-hmm. I'm blind and I wish for sight. God already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesus already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, he needed the blind man to simply say what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a demonstration of faith.
Amen. Amen.
That he actually believed. He was born blind. You know, he never saw.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to expect to believe
mm-hmm.
that Jesus had the power to give him sight.
Amen.
Jesus didn't want him to say, well, you know, I'm going to give it to you. What is it that you want?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's what I wish to see.
Amen.
God, you know, Jesus touched his eyes and he saw.
Amen.
But that was a demonstration on faith on his part, the blind man.
Amen.
He asked for it, but he was specifically to ask for it. I want to see.
And to receive it.
Yeah.
Amen. So the question is for those of you listening and whatever you may be going through, whatever it is, what is it that you want, that you're asking God for, that you're in need of, that you're seriously in need of? We are definitely prayerful on that God is going to give you whatever it is that you are looking for, that you're in need of. And, you know, I always have to be reminded that sometimes we have to watch what we ask for, you know, what we ask for. Sometimes we can ask for the wrong thing. We can get what we ask for, and it can
be. Oh, here's God's perfect will, and his permissive will.
Amen.
His permissive will, he'll permit you to experience.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's also a learning tool, you know.
Right.
Like you said, Brother, you know, be careful about what you ask for. Be very specific, you know, because you end up getting it, and it might be a learning tool that you get it. And anyway, if you want to be specific, that is something exactly what it is that you need is what you want, you know.
Mm-hmm. As we move on into the scripture, and we were talking about Acts 14, and we're talking about the kingdom battle, battles that we may go through in our lives, trying to be like Christ or trying to make it into heaven. It says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. What do you find as the main principle of this scripture? What one main principle did you find in this scripture?
I think maintaining faith and keeping your armor up. I think, as far as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in particular, and those are the gospel. Some people say, you know, the gospel is a gossip, but that's only a type of gossip that is acceptable, and that is spreading God's word. And this is actually true that we're spreading, as opposed to spreading rumors and lies and so forth like that. We spread the gospel. We're spreading God's word, and we have a responsibility in that we support. We talk about putting on our full armor, but we, as we're going to be faced with hardships, we help each other along the way. Help each other put on that armor. Make sure that we're straight and we're ready for battle, you know. But we're supposed to also be a support.
Who do you consider? This is a self-evaluation question. Who is the present administrator of the curse on this earth? Is the present administrator of the curse on this earth?
Thank you. Oh, Lord.
Can we look at 1 John 5:19? 1 John 5:19. 1 John is toward Revelations. It's in the back of the book.
I'll read it.
Okay, give everyone an opportunity to locate it, and we can go over it together. 1 John 5:19.
At this moment, but any glance, we know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is a true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols.
So we're looking at, and it talks about that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Why does it say that the whole world lieth in wickedness?
Because Satan is the mastermind of evil, and we're doing battle with him. But also, you know, by being under Jesus Christ, that is our protection, and we'll learn his word. And he's a true God, and he's eternal.
Mm-hmm. Understand here in 1 John 5. Actually, if we go back to 16, right? 20, that this is these scriptures are talking about people who have, who are unrighteous, about faith hostility towards them, is warning us about spiritual death, that to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is that it results in spiritual death, that to take communion and to have been a blasphemer is that both is just hardening of their heart, and there goes the heart being hard for the heart. If every first half, verse 15. If you see a Christian sinning in a way that does not end in death, you should ask God to forgive him, and God will give life, unless he has sinned that one fatal sin. But there is that one sin which ends in death, and if he has done that, there is no use praying. Every wrong is sin, of course. I'm not talking about ordinary sins. I'm speaking of that one that is death. No one who has become part of God's family makes a practice of sinning. For Christ, God's Son, holds him securely, and the devil cannot get his hands on him. We know that we are children of God, and that we all, and that all the rest of the world around us is under Satan's power and control. And we know that Christ, God's Son, has come to help us understand and find the true God. And now we are in God because we are in Jesus Christ, His Son, who is the only true God, and He is eternal life.
I like 17, I'm backing up for a moment. It says, all wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. All wrongdoing is sin.
Yeah.
And there is sin that does not lead to death. So anyway, we should pray for, you know, our brothers and sisters. I also offer them guidance. So they may, you know, cease the wrongdoings that are occurring. We'll try to get them to see the light.
Mm-hmm. Amen. When you talk about light, and that's another thing also, we look at light, there is light and there's darkness. And when we, from the beginning of Adam and Eve, it's when that transition was made between darkness and light. In Genesis 1:28, Satan's temptation to disobey in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, subsequently, all their offspring died spiritually and became subservient to another god, the devil. In this way, the devil and fallen angels became the rulers of darkness of this world, the rulers of darkness. So we are either, we're supposed to be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, we are God's people, chosen people, the believers of Christ. We are believers of light, truth. And Satan is darkness. We have light and we have darkness. And darkness, in darkness, there's nothing but lies. There's nothing but deception. There's nothing but confusion. There's nothing but disobedience. And that is Satan's world. And God has given Satan control over this world, dominion over this world, over this world. And he's also given us, he's given us a choice to choose who we are to follow.
And that's the light that has been provided. There's darkness in the world, but anyway, God has provided through Jesus Christ a light for us to follow so we don't get lost.
Amen.
And are able to find our way back.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so, yeah, when we look at that, it's interesting. It also comments and he says, did Satan's rule have any control over Jesus?
No.
Mm-hmm. So we all agree that he did not have any control. You know, I like when Jesus was tempted, and he didn't have to say a lot of scripture. He didn't have to say a lot of words. He just said, get thee behind me. Say, get thee behind me. Say,
and that's the model for us.
Yeah, amen.
That's the model for us.
Amen.
The Bible is a handbook telling you what you should do,
mm-hmm.
how you should do it. Put it on the full ark. Tell the enemy to get behind you.
Amen.
Now, you never see Christ first in your height.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Even the things we watch on television, the media, you know, things that we actually have control over. Sometimes we, like Desperate Housewives, not Desperate Housewives, but anyway, Housewives of Atlanta and Mob Wives and some of these programs on television, I look at it and I see their behavior as being disgraceful, but they're one of the highest rated shows on TV, you know. And I think, you know, sometimes we watch it and say, some of these behaviors, you know, people it's kind of idolized, and then they start to model those behaviors. They're not looking at programs that are, or associations that are spiritually uplifting.
Mm-hmm. That goes back to the scriptures we just read about being spiritually dead and having a hard heart. That Satan's tactics could be so subtle that people are watching that for entertainment, laughing. Like you say, laughing at those like things that they're deaf.
And one person throws a drink in another person's face and slaps the person, and people think it's funny, and you know, applaud this, you know.
Right, you're disrespecting.
And you got to tune in next week to see what's going on. What we're gonna do next, you know.
And one another, but that's how Satan confuses the world. People be spiritually dead. They're spiritually blind. They're spiritually deaf. That they can't hear, don't understand the word of God, they can't relate to the word of God, because they have blind, and their hearts are
huge. I like how you put it, you know, having blinders on, you know, but you know, with a horse, you know, sometimes they put blinders on the horse, but the horse is safety, he can't be distracted, he's got to be, you know, in trust of how you lead him, you know, but, same with us. Sometimes we deliberately put blinders on ourselves so that we can't see.
And
that's a choice, you know, when we take those blinders off and we can actually see the light.
But the devil will put them on so subtly that people don't even realize. Like when you think about the example that really confounds me is in society where we can talk about all sorts of religions. Everybody's religious is okay to talk about. But it's still, and you can even talk about Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But when you mention the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
people become irritated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a spiritual blind too.
Mm-hmm.
That and to me that is so, in my opinion, so obvious that something's wrong. That the enemy has a piece of that, and why can't people still have received that? Well, they're spiritually dead.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't understand why that bothers them, why it irritates them. Because if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, or you just believe he's just another man, then why should his name bother you? Why should his name bother you? I mean, when I say Jack Spratt, anybody jump up and say, you can't say that. You can't use that. I remember being at, a friend of mine was asked to do an opening prayer invocation for a banquet, and she was asked by a lady who was non-Christian, I could say which was, but asked not to say the close of the name of Jesus. And this friend was doing it. Said, well, I can't do that. Because I'm a Christian, and if I'm praying, that's what I'm praying too. She said, well, say all the good stuff you say, but don't say the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, what difference does it make? That's my point. Why would it irritate you so much to hear that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Today we had a great speaker in my Toastmasters group, and he spoke about passion. And all of the religions, all of the major religions of the world speak about passion and caring for one another and being a servant, about love. But it's the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
None of this off of us.
That's one of God's greatest commandments, and that was love.
Absolutely.
And it's important that we absolutely demonstrate that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
when you talk about in terms of Satan, there are different names that Satan has. And I shared this at our last week, and I just would like to reiterate as a reminder, Satan or the adversary is given a number of descriptive names. Now let's look at them. There are Beelzebul, the prince of demons. That's in Luke 11:15. The devil or the tempter, which is in Matthew 4:13. A murderer and the father of lies, John 8:44. The prince of this world, John 12:31 and 14:30. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, Ephesians 2:2. The evil one, 1 John 2:14, and the accuser of our brothers, and that's in Revelations 12:10. Revelation 12:22 identifies him with two additional names, the dragon and the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan. And what I would like to do is, rather than just talk about those scriptures, can we just briefly go through them, these scriptures, these different names, maybe about three of them, just to look at them. And the first one would be Luke 11:15. He's considered the prince of demons. And these are just different names that Satan has. Luke 11:15. And 11:15, they call him the prince of demons, Beelzebub.
But this part is talking about where Satan is saying that, I mean, the Lord is kicking him out, saying that a kingdom divided, so if you go down to 17, every kingdom divided against itself was brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house fallen. If Satan also be divided against him, how shall his people be? And remember that he, Satan, Beelzebub, is the author of confusion, lies, and division, divorce, dumbfounding people, tempting. So how could his people stand? Because the strong man in his kingdom, the evil angels, the devils, those forces within his kingdom are coming against each other. Mm-hmm. Confused there. So how could they stand? And in the army and the kingdom of the Lord, we don't have that. So where Satan has fusion and division, in the kingdom of Christ, there's unity, there's order. God is everything is order.
Yeah.
There's peace in the kingdom of Christ.
So and what I was looking at was just the different names, you know, that it had. The one was, and word mine said, but some of them said, he casted out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And I was saying, you know, that that's just one of the names, of the many names that he has. And that's Beelzebub, which is the prince of demons. He was the chief of the devils. And Matthew 14, which is another, and we're not going to belong this. Matthew 4, 1, 3. He is considered the tempter. where, and that's when he's talking about when he tried to tempt Jesus. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And in 11:15, it just says the devil, he's considered as, you know, as the tempter, a murderer, and the father of lies. In John 8:44, he's considered the prince of the world. And we're talking about, when we're talking about in terms of over this world, he's considered the prince over this world. And that's in John 8:44.
We still have to remember, too, that this world is the gap. It's the spiritual world that is the gap.
Amen. And 8:44 says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So I just, when we're talking about in terms of Satan, though they're just different names, in, you know, according to my Bible that I just wanted to share. And again, there are others in different scriptures where he's outlined and, you know, and called different names, you know, besides Satan.
Yeah, but with that, it arms us to be aware and to take precaution, be aware of our environment and who's around us and what we are doing, who we're associating with.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Or who we're not associating with, you know.
Well, actually, you know, the Bible speaks and it says that we're supposed to be aware. So we're supposed to be praying and we're supposed to be aware. In other words, we're awake and watching for the temptations, you know, of the world.
Spiritually awake, spiritually discern those things.
Amen.
I have a few scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Great, Richard.
Colossians 2:13-15. Mm-hmm. I can read it. Start reading. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulation that was against us,
mm-hmm,
and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them,
mm-hmm,
triumphing over them by the cross.
Amen.
And then there's Hebrews 2:14. He too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome evil spirits.
Amen.
Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil.
Amen.
2 Timothy 4:18.
Slow down your scriptures in case
I'm gonna repeat
those
them.
That are writing them down.
I'll repeat it. The Lord will rescue me, Paul, from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm gonna repeat the scriptures in case someone wants to go back, because what I'd like to ask you to do is if you can meditate on the scriptures please, about the kingdom battle. That was Colossians 2:13-15, Hebrews 2:14, 1 John 4:4. Second Thessalonians 3:3. Second Timothy 4:18. We have to be serious about this battle, not fearful, but very serious about it. Take it serious.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be victorious. He's given us scriptures such as the ones that we just shared, and the full armor told us what to do, like Brother John said, this is devil and he will flee. And he's promising us with God that we will crush the enemy's head under our feet. We will soon crush strength under our feet. His promise. That's a
problem.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Again, for those who are listening, we thank you for tuning in. And we are New Beginnings. This is a New Beginnings Bible study discussion. And we would like to definitely hear from you if you would like to call in. The number is 347-237-4054. Your number will come up, and you can participate in this discussion. This is a discussion group, and we're blessed when we hear from you as well as others who are listening. So if God lays something on your heart and you want to share with us, please tune in, and I'll give a call in, and we will definitely open up the lines for you, and you can share what God has said to you. For those of you who are internet and who do not have access of calling in, you can text your number. I mean, text the information in, and that will be read, and we can discuss it that way. Isn't it a wonderful thing when we all come together on one accord, just sharing the Word of God, and you know, believers all over are doing this today. And we are so thankful that you tuned in and being a part of this Bible study discussion. And we are here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30. And we do invite you each and every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30. We are on Bible Kingdom Battle and just talking about the battles that we have in our lives. Just discussing the battles that we have. So if you have a battle that you want to share or discuss, or if you have a praise report, hallelujah, just call in and, you know, and bless us with it, please. Okay? Moving on, we are at number two, and these are self-evaluations. Normally we go over scriptures, but this time we're going through the self-evaluation, where the self-evaluation asks you questions or how are you feeling about a certain scripture. It really challenges you to answer what God is doing through your life. Self-evaluation. And number two, it says, what does it mean that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force? What does it mean that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force?
I believe that means that, like what we were talking about, the reality, yeah, the reality of the unseen, and the heaven seen. And that is the true reality. This we have here in this realm, not the reality of the reality is in the heaven. That there's warfare going,
mm-hmm.
There's war going, and we feel the war in challenges or what we may go through or thoughts we may have or whatever in anticipation. But the battle for our life is taking, or for our salvation is taking place in the heaven. The violence taken by force is that we are supposed to be actively in warfare. We can't sit back and wait or expect for I can't expect, sit up and watch, can't expect aware and awake, the spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And always prepared with the full armor. So we have to be the aggressor. I believe that that's what it means when it says the violence takes by force.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to be the aggressor instead of laying back and letting the children in your home go to hell.
Right, that's Dr. Suzanne's phone. For some reason, she did not cut it off. So we need to push. We're going to have to end up putting up a sign that says, please turn off all cell phones.
Yes.
At this time. So hearing
please
that's exactly
me.
What you're hearing.
I thought it was off. And I'm the one that's up to the other food. Oh, God, turn your cell phone off. Oh, how rude. But please forgive me. At least you know that I'm taking a step. But the violent taking it by force, that's us as not as passive participants in the spiritual war, but as aggressive participants defending ourselves and going against those things that are against God and defending our families. What I was going to say is we should not, as Christians, sit up and watch our children and our households go to hell in a handbasket. We should be actively coming against the things that are not of God.
We also maintain armor, and you know, full armor, and that might mean we should sleep with our armor on. You have to be prepared, and Satan looks for moments of weakness. So at all times, you should be prepared for battle.
Amen. And when I look at this, if we could look at Matthew. Was it Matthew 11:12? It talked about that. And we went over that last week. Matthew 11:12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone read it.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. 3:13 as well. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And you will and you are willing to accept it. He is Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
So, when we look at that scripture and it says that, what does it mean that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force? Anyone want to comment? Any listeners want to comment, add on to what that scripture is saying or what that means to you? What does it mean that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force?
I think it's a message to us as Christians, just like Jesus went into the marketplace. He went in there and he was aggressive. He was aggressive. And he was violent. He took it back. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take that. Everything that is. I'm thinking about that. Shirley Caesar had a song, and she would say, I'm taking it, I'm taking it, I'm taking it back, I'm taking it, I'm taking it, I'm taking it back. Everything that is stolen, I'm taking it back. So, stolen your family, stolen your mind, if he's stolen your marriage, he's stolen your, you know, your peace, if he's stolen your health, whatever the enemy stole, then the Lord promises that he will return. That he will return it. How many false? That he will return it, that and this stuff.
But it's false.
We have to be active. We have to be awake. Mm-hmm. We have to be alive. Alive. And that's what the Lord wants us. Wants us alive now.
Good
when
enough.
We see life everlasting, that everlasting starts now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not once we're in the ground. It starts now. Now.
It's that awareness. So we're aware of what's going around us, and we're able to spread the gospel, strengthen our brothers and sisters.
And take back what the enemy stole.
Absolutely. We're in a spiritual war.
I'm taking it back. Oh, I wish we had that song right now. That would be a perfect song to play. Maybe we'll have, maybe I can find it next week.
Amen, amen, amen. The other next piece thing is God. Is God's order so evident in me that it is shaking my life, home, business, and relationships? Or is it just business as usual? And let me read that again for those of you listening. Is God's order in your life, is it so evident in me that it's shaking my life, home, business, and relationships? Or is it just business as usual?
For me, I know people that I once worked with thought to describe as getting a better understanding. And I was just not so at work.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is that someone who's older now and retired is that I don't think, and I know that if I were to go back into the work, that it would be so different for me now because my spiritual walk is even more defined. And where when I left work, I was open about my faith having. I'm wondering if I were to return to work now, what it would be like. I think that the kingdom is in order of priorities, things that I want to do with my lifetime. I want to learn more about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I want to understand the Bible. So no, I don't think it would be this future. I think that when you're a little sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you ask the Lord for a spirit of discernment, that even going to the grocery store is the same. Driving your car is the same. Like waking up in the morning, looking out the window, and looking at the nature all around. It's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Not the
same. I think often when you become educated, you learn. And as we go through the Bible, it's a form of education. And we see things differently and we do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to elementary school and you learn to count, you end up learning to count money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's not just the fact that you can count, but you take the skills that you learn and you utilize them so that you don't get cheated, you don't get taken advantage of, But we learned where the education was the Bible, like we are right now. We become stronger, and there's traps we're able to avoid. Mm-hmm. And so it's not business as usual that I'm just going to do this. Or for someone to say, you know, as a child, you know, your parents says, don't touch the stove, you know, you'll get burned. Sometimes people will go ahead and touch the stove, and they find that they'll get burned, they won't do it again. Yeah, a sibling may be watching, you know, that act of disobedience and the consequence, and he realizes, he doesn't have to go to the stove and touch it to realize what the consequences are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, even for the sibling, it's not business as usual. I'm just not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wiser.
Amen. Yeah, it's a blessing when you, are noticed. When we are noticed, when people that we are surrounded by know that that we are believers in Christ, and they know that by just how we speak. You know, our love, our encouragement, lifting others up, not tearing them down. Just an act of love all the way across the board, and not afraid to share the word of God with them. Without afraid of that. Moving on, what is the only ground for authority for both relationship and rulership with God? What is the only ground of authority for both relationship and rulership with God? And if we look at Colossians 2:13-15, that will kind of share some highlights. Colossians 2:13-15. Anyone like to? Well, I'll read it. 13:15. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I look at that scripture, I think about it in terms of giving unrestrained indulgence to our desires of the flesh, giving in to the desires of our flesh, and living as though that we have no religious or no relationship with Christ, that we have no covenant with Christ at all. And even though that all of this took place and all that is sin, that Jesus Christ took that and blotted it out.
Forgive us.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah, and circumcised there's, you know, being circumcised, you know, with being in covenant, you know. Being uncircumcised, you mean not in covenant, being spiritually dead, and God, you know, forgiving us for our sins.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 You know, I look at Colossians 2:14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us. Where God said, you know, there are consequences for what we do. And Jesus Christ, you know, he bore it. He took our, took our sins on his shoulders. He took it and blotted it out just for us. Just for us. Hmm. Why should this be the center of my gospel message? This is the last we're going to share, and then we're going to have to close out. Why should this be the center of our my gospel message?
Well, that's God's will. God is very clear in his message, you know, in the Bible. Sermons he's given, the word, circumstances, this is his will. This is what this is what he wants for us.
Amen. 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 And just knowing that God did all of this for us, you know. We do thank you for tuning in as the time is getting close. Please, we have to remind you that we are have our Bible study discussion group every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30, and we do invite you to participate. As a reminder, the number to call in case you want to call in is 347-237-4054, and you would be tuned in. So we do thank you. We have one more discussion of kingdom.
And also remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen. 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 Let me close it out in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of those that that tuned in. Heavenly Father, even though that we did not hear from them, we know that they are out there because of the calls that we received. And Lord, Father, we ask that as we come together on one accord, Father, we don't come together for form or fame or fortune. We just come together, Heavenly Father, so that we can be on one accord, that we can be a blessing to each other. Lord, we ask, Heavenly Father, that no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. Lord, we mean this to be a good thing, Heavenly Father, and we just want you to bless it. Bless it, bless it. For those, Heavenly Father, who are having financial difficulties, Lord, we pray blessings upon them. We pray for healing, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that eyes would be open and hearts would be open, Heavenly Father, that we would know, Heavenly Father, that you are the one and true God. We love you and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being a part of our lives. Let us continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Until we meet again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we do thank you. And again, we'd like to say that we love you. God loves you.
For the young.